Welcome to the New Regime Podcast, Cleveland Browns podcast recorded immediately after every single game and sometimes before games. This is your preview episode of the Bengals. Find me on Twitter, on Facebook, at New Regime Pod. Thank you for joining me. I've had so much fun doing this podcast. I missed last week. Why? Because I had an important work conference and my day job took over my life. 5 a.m. to midnight every night. That's how hard of a worker your boy is. But I didn't have time to do this, so I'm not that hard of a worker. I want to talk about closing the door on the Falcons in this episode. I want to get into the draft, just a quick evaluation of how we did. I think we all know where that's going. Preview the Bengals game. Player up, player down. Let's talk on that. 3 points from section 3, 4, 6, and a prediction for the Bengals game. Let's get into it. Okay, all right. We all hate starting an episode with a mea culpa, right? We hate starting an episode admitting that we're wrong, which I happen to be doing a lot of this year. I've been kind of up when the Browns were down and down when the Browns were up. So this last game was exactly what I was, the opposite of what I was thinking. I was so wrong. I said the Falcons would wipe the floor with the Browns 38-17. That didn't happen. The Browns came out and probably played their best complete game of the year. They came out playing the game, and if you remember, my boy from Section 346 said he wanted to see a game where we just beat somebody soundly, and that's what happened in this game. And that tells me two things. The Browns are a team that will be on the rise, hopefully for the remainder of the season and for a long time. And two, the Falcons are a horrible football team. Isn't it amazing what one win does for a city, especially a city starved for wins? Like, we think our team is headed in a positive direction. And because it happened right before the bye week, we got to enjoy it even longer. Isn't it a great feeling when that happens? Like, how crazed and starved is this city for a winner when we have most of the rookies of the week being Cleveland Browns this year? I think Baker's won it two or three times. Chubb's won it two or three times. Ward's won it two or three times. We own that particular award because the fans vote on it, and we know that when Cleveland fans get involved, it's a really good thing. Falcons, boy, they are terrible. What happened to that football team? That team seems way too good. Has a franchise quarterback, at least that's what a lot of people say, and has two legitimate studs at wide receiver, and somehow they're just terrible. The thing that I want to take away from that last game, and I think we're all positive about, are the young players of the Cleveland Browns. You look at all of the young players that we've brought in. Baker still looks like he's the real deal. Offense, let's give credit to Kitchens on this. The offense looks creative, kind of fun, kind of interesting. It suits the strengths of the offense, the players around the offense. And so you have to be really excited about that. It's kind of like, man, It's depressing to think that he might not be calling plays after the season's over. It's likely that he won't be, right? Chubb, another game just opened up for him and looks like a legitimate player. And last thing I want to say about this, I think I'm very excited. I tend to be one of those guys who's over-positive, maybe gets a little too excited on things. We're not making the playoffs. I know that's a bad thing to say right now because there's still a glimmer of statistical hope that we might, but we're not making the playoffs. And you'll see why when we're looking at total offense and total defense. The Browns don't have a playoff defense. They've done well in the early games, taking the ball away, but the Browns don't have a playoff defense. I'm going to say that again. The Browns don't have a playoff defense. Anyway, I want to look back at the draft a little bit. I want to talk about the draft because it's easy to be down on this team, especially with the firing of the coach. Basically, the cultural nightmare that the Cleveland Browns have been in the last 19 years. But when you look at what they did in the draft, it's like I think the one glimmer of hope that we've all held on to was that John Dorsey knows what he's doing. And that's why the firing of Hugh Jackson doesn't seem like all is lost, right? I think because when you go, whatever, 1-31 after two seasons and, you know, you win only one game or two games in your third season, you're quite awful. So nobody misses Hugh at this point. But you look at the draft and you see Baker, Chubb, and Ward, all right? Now, we all know the kind of year that they're having, especially as rookies. I don't care how much of a stud you are in college. I've said stud twice, and I don't like that word at all. I don't care how good you are in college. The NFL is a whole other game. It's just a whole other monster of a game. And you get three guys in your first four picks that look like long-term NFL starters. When I say long-term, I mean four-plus years. I don't know, five, six, seven, eight-plus years. You won your draft, right? Just with those three. Baker, Chubb, Ward, just those three. If they end up playing, you know, their full contract and they end up extending with the Browns, you won that draft. Now you have Corbett on the bench who hasn't played much. He'll get his shot. I think he does have some room to grow, came from a smaller school, so we haven't really seen him yet. So I'm in the preseason, and we saw he did have some room to grow. Chad Thomas, haven't really seen him much. Meh, he's been kind of a no-show, not really, didn't do much in the preseason, didn't do much in the regular season. I wasn't impressed with that particular draft pick when they picked him, but look, not everybody hits on every single pick. Next one, Callaway. Now, I've been harsh on him because I think the guy still drops an easy ball regularly. But if you look at his draft status, you know, fourth round draft pick with his speed, and he's made some big plays this year, he's definitely worth keeping. He's definitely worth developing. You know, when you zoom in on the game stats and you watch these guys play, he definitely has a lot of room to grow. He can be much better. I think the guy has a world of potential, though. And as a fourth round pick, you have to be so excited about that. Avery, been a good situational pass rusher. I mean, he's been a huge part of that pocket collapsing. I think he's shown more than Ogba's shown this year. Ratley, another player who's had some time on the field as a late round pick. And he's been decent, right? He's gotten open. He has some chemistry with Baker. They played together in the preseason a lot. And so you look at this draft and it's, you know, an A-plus draft so far for sure. And I think we've all been thinking that. And you look at the talent that was added and we've lost some of it due to injury, but overall, this team looks a lot better and is a lot better. And you give it another year, another draft, and another season of free agency, we should see a winner next year, not just like a flirting with 500 team, but if we get a coach who can motivate this team, we should see them above 500. I think that should be an expectation for the fans next year. I don't think it should be an expectation for the fans this year, but we're looking like a legitimate NFL roster.
Oh, we missed the previews.
All right, I want to talk about the preview of this next game, Browns and Bengals. The Browns are 3-6-1, and we won our last game. They look a lot more fun to watch again because of that W. And, you know, the Bengals, they lost against Baltimore. They seem to be on just sort of a nice precipitous fall from grace. They just don't seem to be the team that we saw, you know, at the beginning of the season. You think that this team looked unbeatable in the beginning, right? Started off the season, beat Indianapolis. They beat Baltimore, lost to Carolina, beat Atlanta, beat Miami, lost to Pittsburgh, lost to Kansas City, beat Tampa Bay, lost to New Orleans, lost to Baltimore. They just, you're looking at them, and in the last four games they've played, they've lost three of them. And they've lost four of the last five. And that's not a winning playoff type team with good leadership. And, you know, their head coach should be on his way out too at this point. How long do you stay with that particular regime when they're playing basically 500 ball? I don't know. I don't keep them. I clean house if I'm them too after this particular season. So you look at it, and the Browns, they have a shot this particular game, I would say. It's, you know, it's Cleveland at Cincinnati, so the Bengals have an advantage there. Are their fans going to show up on a holiday weekend? Do they think they still have a shot at making the playoffs with this team? You know, maybe they're getting a little healthier now. Maybe they're going to, you know, come out big. This is definitely a must-win for that team. And so we're looking at the stats. Bengals total offense is 26. Browns total defense is 31. So not a huge difference there. But you look at the playmakers on the Bengals. They have Mixon. They have Green, who's doubtful for the game, which is a huge loss if he's not playing. So they have speed. They have talent on the outside. They have, you know, Mixon's a freak at running back. And, you know, Andy Dalton. They have Ron Weasley playing quarterback. And every year I tweet at him something about getting into Gryffindor, and he never responds. Okay, so Browns rush defense. You know what? I'm a 40-year-old man. I shouldn't be tweeting about Harry Potter. So that's a fair assessment. Cool. So Browns rush defense, 28. Bengals rush offense, 28. This actually is the part of the game that'll scare me. I think the Browns' rush defense has been horrific. And, you know, we have been a different team with Schobert playing, even though, you know, sometimes athletically he seems limited in, you know, pass coverage situations. The defense is a much smarter defense with him on the field. So we'll see. I think if the Browns are able to, you know, play adequately, not just completely melt down on the rush defense side, we have a shot at this game. Browns pass defense is 30. Bengals pass offense is 20. And, you know, we're doing okay from a health perspective in Cleveland. We did lose one of our starting corners. But, you know, the guys filling in have filled in. And they've done an okay job. Not a fantastic job, but an okay job. And you think that the Browns, you know, when you look at this team, there's not really any injuries right now pending. The guys that are out for the long term. So we're going into this game relatively healthy. Browns total offense is 18. And Bengals total defense is 32. The Bengals have a horrible defense. It's embarrassingly bad defense. So the Browns should be able to put up points on this team. You know, this is the game that you look at as a fan and coming off the win, coming off a bye week. This is the away game that you think the Browns can win. It is a winnable game. Total offense, total defense, right? 18 to 32. Browns rush offense is 5. And I'm going to say it. I hadn't been a believer up until now. That's how long it took me to be a believer in this run game. I liked our running backs, but I felt like we were very inconsistent with blocking. And I thought, you know, Chubb has a little bit of immaturity when it came to, you know, hitting the specific hole he needed to. But he made a believer out of me. The Browns offense made a believer out of me. There wasn't any gimmicks. It wasn't, you know, Baker running for 40 yards, skewing the rush game stats. It was legitimate Nick Chubb just being a monster. And the offensive line opening up holes for him and them looking decisive in their play calls. So I thought, you know, they looked much more crisp. And don't they look much more disciplined across the board? Credit Greg Williams on the young team. You know, I do think that when you look at management styles of coaches, it has to match the team, you know. And looking at our team being a relatively young team, if you're mostly hands-off like Hugh was or seemed to be, and you say everybody's accountable but you're not driving that, it's really hard to be successful because they haven't seen success yet as a young team. But if you have a young team and you have a sort of a disciplinarian like Greg Williams seems to be, He's going to promote accountability among young players. He's going to teach them that. Maybe they won't need that their entire career. Maybe they will, but maybe they won't need that their entire career. But they do need it now. And the reason I know that is the team looks completely different based on what we've seen out of Hughes' team and what we see out of the Greg Williams team. And that's what Haley was talking about during that Hard Knocks episode, where he said, we got to get these guys into shape. We got to get these guys playing. And so, you know, just looking at it, kind of a tangent there, but Browns rush offense is 5, Bengals rush defense is 32. We better be feeding Chubb in this game. And if we're not, we should play action every play. I mean, there should be the threat to run every play against this team. And then Browns pass offense 24, Bengals pass defense 32. They're 32 across the board. That's a bad defense, man. You know, and the Browns are 31 on total defense, and that's why I don't think they're a playoff defense. I love the talent on the team. It's weird. You know, you look at the talent, and we did, you know, sign, we extended Kirksey, who I think has been up and down this year. I think Collins has been up and down this year. Sometimes he'll make an insane play, and then he'll be lazy when they're getting blown out, which is just kind of bad culturally. They have been aggressive in taking the ball away. And that is something that, man, I hope we don't lose next year when Greg Williams leaves, because that's sort of been his MO. Even if we're taking the ball away, we're getting an extra possession or 2 possessions or 3 possessions per game. And that's better than yards. You just can't count on that every week. And, you know, the weeks where we didn't produce any turnovers, we've struggled, right? So Browns overall, you know, looking pretty good statistically in this game against the Bengals, who really have struggled.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start.
Okay, man, look, I don't know exactly how to do these transitions yet, but the code to contra seemed like the right thing to do. All right, player up and player down. I'm just thinking about this a bit, and, you know, I mentioned the draft earlier and how we feel like things are going, and I think everybody in Cleveland's excited about it. A lot of up players. We have so many players that are up right now to me, and of course, after a win, it always feels that way. But Baker continues to develop. And I think looking back at the firing, as much as I was against it, just from a continuity and cultural sake, the move took a lot of nerve to get Hugh out of Cleveland and Haley out of Cleveland. And for the purposes of Baker's development, I thought it would hurt his development. And so far, I've been wrong. And I think anybody who agreed with me at that point would have been wrong. Number one, his development is more important than the rest of the team combined, in my opinion. Your quarterback, I'm a QB guy in a QB world, right? The most important position in sports. And they have the right guy right now, at least it's so far showing that they have the right guy developing Baker. And, you know, we have a lot of football left. That's what Dorsey keeps saying. We have a lot of football left. And we need to watch this lot of football left very closely. What happens to this team as we move forward in the last 6 games? Does Baker take on more of a leadership role? Is he more decisive in the pocket? Is he better at pre-reads, you know, pre-snap reads? Those are the kinds of things that to me are as much of a test for Baker as they are for Kitchens. I think if you end up with an offensive coordinator who works well with your quarterback, you got to keep him. So I do think this is sort of a job interview for Kitchens. Player up Chubb, of course. I think he's grown a lot over the season. And, you know, catching the ball a little bit better out of the backfield now, blocking a little bit better, a little bit more patient, but also does make the cut when necessary. I thought he was a little too patient in the beginning of the season, and, you know, now he's seems to be more decisive. Ward, of course, we've already mentioned, you know, playing like a top 5 pick, in my opinion. He had a good game last game. You know, every corner is going to give up a little bit, but Ward plays with a huge chip. You can see it. I want to also give it up for Demarius Randall. I haven't really mentioned his name much this year on the podcast, but this guy has been a huge game changer for our secondary. Do you remember how bad our secondary was last year? Do you remember like how awful, embarrassingly bad it was? This guy's a huge difference, and they got to pay him. They should pay him. He's earned getting a long-term deal. And I think this is the right time to pay somebody like him, especially because, you know, I think it makes sense to look at it basically in the last three games. Let's watch Baker. Let's see how he develops. If we think we're competing next year, which I think we might, this is when you sign guys like Randall to a long-term deal. Let's sign these guys who are at the point where we can keep them for three or four good years of their prime and have them, you know, continue to gel in this defense. Why get rid of this guy and bring in a rookie free safety when you have a legitimate player right now playing? And he's done a good job filling in the slot too. So he's done a lot of slot work and a lot of corner work because of injuries at corner, right? And Body stepped in at free very well for, you know, a significant portion of the season too. So player down, our linebackers still look a little weak to me, but I did mention Schobert, you know, seems to be one of the smarter players on the field, and I base that off of how we look when he's not on the field versus how we look when he is on the field. We just looked embarrassing in a lot of cases when he was hurt. So I think maybe I have underestimated his value on the defense. He definitely looks to be one of the smarter players out there. And I think you've heard Greg Williams say that during some of the press conferences in the past.
That's not an area code.
Okay, it's time for 3 points from section 346. My dude, Kevin, he hates me. He hates me after every week. You know why? Because I take his points and I say something stupid with them. And I get angry messages from him every week. I don't think I'm going to do it this week, though, because I really like these points. And we're going to go through them here. There's a handful of them. Like I said, he calls them 3 points. I call them, you know, 42-point turn. That's what we're going with in this list. Bye week. So his first thing that he mentions is, look, he sees potential. The rest of our games are winnable, and I totally agree there. The rest of our games are winnable. You know, you look at the schedule and you got, you know, Cincinnati, you have Houston, which will be tough, Carolina coming into Cleveland as it gets cold, Cleveland at Denver, they're not that good this year, Cincinnati coming to Cleveland, and then Cleveland at Baltimore, which will be a tough game, especially if Baltimore has a shot at the playoffs at that point. So, we still, though, you know, division rivals, I always think we have a shot. And then at Houston, that'll be a tough game. At Denver, you know, I think that game is winnable. But all of these opponents aren't world beaters. So we do have a shot, and I think that's a good point that he brings up. Like, you look at this, and if you're looking at it in a positive light, you can say we can possibly win all these games. And if you look at it as the typical Browns fan, you can say we could possibly lose all those games. Another point that he mentioned, Condoleezza Rice. He says everybody needs to calm down. Forget that, man. I want Condi Rice on the sideline. I want her barking at players. I want her firing people up. Man, I want her leading the troops into battle next year. Condi Rice for head coach. I'm all in. All right, next point. When you look at the Browns, as a Browns fan, he says, you might feel that they're not that well improved just based on the record, 3-6. We've lost some close games. We still don't know how to win, blah, 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 right? But he goes, but look at this team, and we are in a much better position than a lot of teams in the NFL. I think this is such a good way to look at this team because, you know, we can look at this and sort of look at the Browns and say, ah, they're 3-6. They are what they are. The record is what their record is. But that's not saying everything, right? We know that the Browns have a lot of young talent. We're looking at the future. We knew this year would be tough, but we knew we should see growth this year for sure, right? But here's his point. He lists out some really good points. First one, he said, let's play the game of would you rather. Would you rather be the Browns or would you rather be Jacksonville, stuck with a horrible QB and a defense that was good, but now there's rumors they're all going to be gone and dealt? Would you rather be the Browns or Dallas, who gave up a first-round pick for Cooper? And they have a QB who's, he's okay. Maybe never be better than 500. And you have to deal with Jerry Jones, who's the GM, who's proven time and again that he can't do it. Would you rather be the Browns or the Ravens, who are basically going to dump Flacco? They're going to turn to Lamar Jackson. Would you rather have Lamar Jackson than Baker Mayfield? I wouldn't. I think Lamar Jackson looks like a freak athlete, and I love his game. He's going to be fun to watch when he's not playing the Browns. But man, there's a lot of risk, right? I was an RG3 guy, and that's RG3 was just as explosive and, to me, had just as good of an arm. Don't forget, RG3 was a stud coming out, but his problem was, you know, well, he had a lot of problems playing for the Redskins and all of the drama and cultural issues there, and an owner who was talking to him and a head coach who also had trouble talking to him, and there was a bunch of mess there. So I think RG3's failures won't necessarily be Lamar Jackson's failures. They're two different players, and hopefully he gets the support that RG3 didn't for the sake of his career. But, you know, that one's debatable, right? Would you rather be Baltimore or would you rather be the Browns? I think I'd rather be the Browns. I think because I'm such a Baker Mayfield homer, though. Would you rather be Denver with no QB and wasting your defense's prime years? Nope, I'd rather be the Browns, honestly. Would you rather be the Giants with Eli? They're probably going to draft a QB next year. But with all that talent in the world on offense and still only have 3 wins plus Pat Shurmur as your coach, I'd rather be the Browns. So these are excellent points. You look at teams that are good, but do you really think in 3 years they'll be better shaped than Cleveland, like Washington? I don't know. With Alex Smith, Detroit, they just never seem to put it together. Seahawks is tough. Atlanta and Carolina, they just never seem to be able to get over that hump. Houston and Tennessee, they have QBs. So I think they have more proven QBs than the Browns do, but will those guys stay healthy? And then you look at Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. They're all kind of aging, right? How many years does Ben have left? I don't know what Cincinnati's going to do. I'd rather be Cleveland than Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati has better playmaking talent on offense than the Browns does, but overall, I just don't. I wouldn't want to be Cincinnati just because it's Cincinnati. I think not that city, not like this. No words need to explain. But he's like, would you rather be the Bills, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Cardinals, the Buccaneers? No, that's like 19 teams that the Browns are in better shape, arguably in some, but for sure with others. Good points, right? Absolutely. I think there's a lot of excitement, a lot of reason to be excited about this Browns team. Wish list for the last 6 games. This is kind of his third point, what he wants. A road win. I mentioned this earlier. We should be pretty close to a road win, right? We should be able to win at least one game on the road. Next one. Get to 500 at any point. How great would it be to see this team claw back to 500? I think that's a pretty aggressive or very positive wish. But man, why not? We have so much potential, and we're playing probably, at least the last game, was our best football of the season. So I don't think it's impossible. It would take 3 straight wins or 4 out of 5. So it is doable with our schedule, but probably unlikely. That's his point, and I would say the same. Probably unlikely, but man, I think this, I said this at the beginning of the season, and I think it applies now too. It goes back to the belief system of the team, and do they think they're done? Do they think the season's over? Last game, they didn't appear to think that. And if they win this game, you get 2 wins, 1 on the road, proving to themselves they can win on the road. And again, you start establishing a belief system, which this team desperately needs, even with a coach who is, you know, playing substitute teacher. Continue to be fun on offense. Another point. So that's his third of his third point. So he had like, technically he had like 9 points with this. Yeah, man. How fun was it to see 3 backs in the backfield and have them go all different ways with it? It was so much fun to watch that offense last week when they beat the Falcons. Just be creative, right? Don't be so obvious. And so far, you have to applaud the offensive coaching staff for being fun, at least, if nothing else. Let the players have some fun on offense. Be creative. Don't lose being predictable. That's the worst way to lose.
I have a prediction for you.
Prediction? Of course I have a prediction for you. The Browns are going to get their first road win. It's going to be 28-24. What did you think I was going to say? Do you think I was going to be negative about this? I think it's going to be tough, but they're going to go in. They're going to win. They're going to get us all excited about the remainder of the season. They're going to start building this thing for next year. We're all going to be super pumped. And let's see if we can cause a little bit of a ruckus in the AFC. Go Browns!